This is Will's Band of the Week for December 8th, 2019. Hello, and welcome to another edition of Will's Band of the Week. This is Will, along with Barrett live in studio.
Hey!
And Chris live in studio.
So you know it's a big one.
It is.
Yeah.
So, Chris, what's your number 10? Oh, no, it's a little too quick. We don't need to... We can ease into it a little bit, right?
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, we got to work on these whiskeys a little bit before we say too much.
Right. We have a fourth co-host here in the studio tonight, and that would be... Log A. Vulin.
Yeah.
Yes.
That was super generous of Chris.
He's only 16 years old, so
yeah.
Lord knows what he's gonna have to say. But
he's not old enough to drink himself, so we'll have to do it.
Yes, our drink couldn't drink.
Right.
If the podcast goes on long enough tonight, then it'll be aged a little bit more. It might taste a little better by the end.
That's what we were thinking is at some point you should put together a master cut of us speaking at the beginning of these podcasts and at the end, and we should have the listeners guess drunk or not drunk.
I pledge to be 100% coherent at the end of the podcast. Now, whether that'll happen, I don't know. I'm going to pledge.
You're not coherent at the beginning of the podcast.
That's a good point.
It's okay. So here's a little thing. We don't know because we're doing this live whether or not Will edited out his like slip of the tongue.
True.
If he didn't,
I don't know what they'll think. It doesn't matter what they think. We don't care what other people think, right?
Basically said he's going to be 100% sober.
I said percent and then, I did. Barrett will not let me, any mistake I make, he's going to repeat so that I can't edit it out.
We run a tight ship here. There's no verbal slip-ups here at all.
Yeah. Well, you're the smooth guy, Chris. You've been on the... You know, national media enough that, and you know, you can't make any mistakes on that, right? So,
yeah, I haven't been on in a while because I make too many mistakes. That's why I'm sitting here with you and not on like.
You're on probation. You've been demoted to Will's Band of the Week just temporarily. Not, it's like getting relegated. It's like four levels of relegation. Oh, man.
You've been sent down to the Will's Band podcast. I'm sorry.
That's below single A for sure. So, I don't even know what level it would be. It's like
Legion ball.
It's a backyard ball, you know.
Yeah, stick ball.
Yeah,
sandlot.
Yeah. So, we didn't mention, and so the listeners have no idea, but we are actually going to count down our 10 favorite albums of 2019. And I've seen your lists, and you haven't seen mine. So I know all the ones you guys got wrong. And I'm not planning on getting any wrong, so...
I'm not sure I've seen my list. I have to double check. Hold on a second.
Chris completely forgot
who
his top 10 were.
Well, there's a lot of jockeying at the last minute. You know, bands calling me. We make this joke every year. Bands calling us, trying to get on the list. I have to take meetings.
Yeah, one of the bands sent Chris a bottle of Lagavulin, I think, to try to get on.
Thanks for that.
And they're still at number 12. Chris is like, no.
Thanks,
I can't be bought.
Thanks, Charlie Bliss. but sorry, you didn't make it.
Should we talk about who almost made the lists?
Sure.
Because let's see, I have to find my list of my compilation here. Hold on. Do you guys have them in your head? Like, who almost made your lists?
Coming in at number 13. The Anurag endorsed Diane Coffey.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
And if I were being honest, like,
I was begging for Barrett to pick Diane Coffey just as an FU Anurag.
The album that gave me, you know, if I'm just basing it, which I should have, just on like which I listened to the most and what gave me the most joy, Diane Coffey would be on there. So it's a bit of a, I don't know why I didn't put it on there. I should have.
Well, you know,
is it too late?
Post production.
Is it too late?
That would be a Will's band first for you to edit the list as we're on the air.
Yeah. Oh, take off. No. I'm going to stick with my decision, but I did like that a lot.
All right.
How about your turn? What did you leave off?
The aforementioned Charlie Bliss is a near miss for me.
Mm-hmm.
Who else? Grim Streaker was a near miss for me. Album I really liked a lot, but I listened to it from front to back again yesterday, and I was like, I like it, but do I top 10 like it? And I wasn't sure. Yeah. So, yeah. So those are there's probably going to be one on Barrett's list that I left off at the last minute, so I won't mention it. But maybe when we get to it, I will.
There are a couple that are on Chris's list that almost made mine, so I'll just bring those up later. Alex G, Tincho, Corridor, Mick Trouble, and Laura Imbruglia almost made my top 10.
Yeah, I like that Mick Trouble a lot. That was not one of my ones that didn't quite make it, but Neutrals was.
Oh, yeah. I kept thinking Neutrals would be on
strong,
your list.
That was a very strong one. And
there's another one that's not on your list that I thought would be. Should we say it or not?
Sure.
I'm surprised that Sasami is not on your top 10 list.
Yeah, that could have been.
It would have been on your mom's top 10.
Would have been, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I think I saw her like 3 times this year.
Huh.
Yeah, and I like it a lot. But, I think that and some of the other stuff that I left off, most years, maybe almost every single other year, would have made that list. But I was much more engaged in music this year than I've been in some of the other years. So
this is like the NCAA tournament selection show where they tell you who didn't get in,
right
before, like right before,
and there could be like the last 4 in, right? So like our number 10s will be the ones that barely made it. So that's pretty cool, right? All right, we should get going, or we're going to be going forever, right?
Indeed,
it's going to be exciting. Barrett, your name starts with a B. What is your number 10?
All right.
Hey, Barrett, who's your number 10?
My number 10 is Faye Webster.
Wow.
Yeah. And the song that I chose is Hurts Me Too.
Sad songs, but loving you has only made me cry twice or so. The day that I said I loved you, you didn't say it in return. That was the day I realized that silence is actually heard.
So, yeah, the album is called Atlanta Millionaires Club, and it was the 10th best album of this year.
You remember way back when I said that I wasn't going to mention the album that was my last cut because it was on your list?
That was what it was.
That was the album, Faye Webster. It's a great album.
It is super great.
And way back was like 60 seconds ago?
No, it was at least 5.5 or more minutes ago.
It's a great album. So it starts out with kind of like 2 indie-ish songs, kind of folky songs, and then after that it kind of transfers over to more soulful crooning.
There's a lot of different
and everything is good there. Except for there's like a rap song at the end, which is kind of a clunker for me, but otherwise the album's great.
Yeah, I like it. I'm glad to hear that mild endorsement. Thank you for that.
I like the album too, but I do have an issue that I can't unsee the album cover of her with slime or chocolate or whatever it is all over her face.
She appears to be stuffing her face with like poutine or something. I don't know.
Yeah,
what
no,
the deal
she's
is.
Got candy chocolates. You know, the kind that are wrapped
yeah,
in.
Right. There's those gold coin things, and they're
gold
all
coins,
melted.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that's cool. I like it. She's also a photographer, so I think that she.
Yeah.
That's a selfie. Is what that
yeah,
is.
Yeah, that makes
there.
Sense. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, Chris. What's number 10?
Hey. All right, for my number 10, I picked a Chicago band made up of bassist Emily Kempf, guitarist Jason Bala, and drummer Eric McGrady. And the first two that I mentioned broke up like right as they were writing this album. And so it's an album about their breakup, really. And it
would be
is...
awkward if you're like still in the band.
Right,
right,
but they went ahead, they forged through, mm-hmm. and they finished the album, and then they went on tour. And the album is, it's called Water, and it's from the band Dead, although Dead is spelled D-E-H-D. So if you find them, that's where you're going to find them. And I think it's a really great album. It's really spare. You can almost listen to it on a cell phone and it wouldn't sound any different because there's hardly any bass or anything. If I had a comparable, I would say it's maybe almost like a Violent Femmes type of thing, where it's really spare, but it's really tuneful, and it's got great hooks. And, so I picked the song On My Side.
That's Dead.
Yeah, I like that. I did listen to that album quite a few times.
Yeah, it's
so
a good one.
It's mm-hmm. super spare. There isn't a whole lot of studio enhancement there.
No.
It's basically, you know, a drum, a bass, and a guitar. And yeah, I think the fact that there is no sweetening in the studio makes it all that more kind of stark.
Yeah.
So
yeah. I like too the way it's like just kind of going along, and then when she explodes in there with the time is on my side thing and, you know, like full-throated singing. That's just really cool. It sounds really nice. I like it.
That's
yep.
It's a great album.
Approved. All right.
Plus, if you like horses, it's got a cool horse on the cover.
I'm one for one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. As are you. We'll see about Will, though.
Yeah.
I'm taking a big risk with Chris on this one for sure. my number 10 is Capital. So this is a late addition. And it just forged its way in the last 2 weeks. It forged its way up to number 10 because every time I listened to it, I liked it more. My comment was that it kind of sounds like a shoegaze version of The National. So Chris probably wouldn't be into it too much. So I told him to be wary, be very careful.
Shoegaze not get too close. Plus The National.
Don't get too close to this album.
All right.
Boring and irritating
yeah.
at the same time.
So let's find out if it's boring and irritating. It's Capital from Hamilton, Ontario, the new music hotbed. The album is called Dream Noise, and this is a song called Never Been to Paris. ¶¶ Capital.
Yeah, those are very, very good description that you put on that.
I thought so.
Yeah. I like it. It's good.
Should I render my judgment?
No.
Sure. Yeah,
let's
you
all
can.
Be
Go
nice
ahead.
To each other. This is so early in the podcast. Later we're going to get
Barrett's
really
like,
mean.
Let's wait for the cutting, scathing remarks
come
for
on.
Later.
I have to get in here and say, I like that a lot.
All right.
I actually knew you were going to say
was
that.
Was that Echo and the Bunny Men?
Oh, yeah. That's
because that
that's
sounds exactly
good.
Like that, right?
Yeah,
it's a good album.
Like,
see, now, as we're recording this, it's only one day after the last podcast went up, and Craig and I talked about this on the last podcast. I think Craig liked it, too. He was just being introduced to it. So, solid album. Capital. Check it out. That's my number 10. Barrett, number 9.
Oh,
my number 9.
Getting serious now.
All right.
It's just is, slightly more serious than before.
We're 10%
this
in.
This is one that, when Chris and I were talking about what we might have in common, this might be one. It is one, right?
You're killing me.
Yeah. The album is by Palehound, and the song I picked is called Black Friday, which it was just recently Black Friday.
It was.
A couple days ago.
Yeah, it's Cyber Monday.
There should be a song called Cyber Monday.
That'll be next album.
This is the title track, by the way, too. Palehound. Palehound.
Yep. Chris and I saw Palehound at the Sylvie. That was just maybe a month ago.
Yeah.
Maybe a little bit more.
Roughly.
And it's a band, but really it's just her, right?
Yeah.
She/they did not disappoint.
Yeah. Had a good time.
Yeah, she was great. And I don't want to say the same things that I said during the podcast, which is just how, there's just this raw emotion in that song, and it's so sad and pathetic, but that really comes across in concert. Like, your voice is kind of like imperfect and quavery in all the right ways, and it's just so, it's got an honesty and realness that I really liked. The other thing about that song I picked right there is the song You Still Believe in Me, the second song on Pet Sounds. That's kind of pinched a melody from that just a little bit.
I'm afraid I have nothing else to say about this album.
Nothing else. Chris is going to say anything. Yeah, it's like a thing that was a little bit under the radar, right? Came out, we liked it, we talked about it, and then it just kind of slid through, and all along we were liking it, right? That's cool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right, Chris, what is number 9?
All right. This one was a late add for me. It is by a woman named Michaela Mullaney Strauss, known to the public as King Princess, who is she's a queer artist from Brooklyn, New York. She didn't go to Brooklyn to earn indie status. She went to Brooklyn, she was born in Brooklyn, and now she has, legitimate status. I think she's opening for Harry Styles on his next tour.
Wow,
she's a big deal. She was on Saturday Night Live last week, so she's a legit star.
It'd be like us opening for Marc Maron, right, or something like that. Yeah, we should open for him, right?
Yeah,
we can warm up the crowd.
Yes,
right,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Fun facts: her great great grandfather was a congressman from New York, and she also has a great grandfather or grandmother who was on the Titanic and drowned.
Wow! Now that's music journalism, right there.
So I did do some music journalism. I felt like there are all these artists.
How do you know
I
the person drowned? Maybe they froze to death.
Well, this is a Will's Band investigation that can be done.
Might have been crushed by a collapsing funnel. I just want to make sure that we have the facts right.
Hit by an oar, perhaps.
Right. Could have been swimming and a lifeboat fell on top of him or her.
There are a lot of possibilities.
Maybe it doesn't matter that much, but we need to try to be accurate where we can.
Well, the Titanic theme is going to come back later, so I thought I'd mention that. So, yeah, she's kind of a soul singer. I would say she's got kind of a rock background, but also she sounds a lot like Lady Gaga vocally. But she's very soulful. And the song that I picked is Prophet from her album Cheap Queen.
You call when you want it. Everyone wants something from your soul on the molly. Someone's friend is talking like they know how you're on it. I just want to be a pretty girl.
Yeah.
Where did you first learn about this?
I first learned about it listening to on Fridays, NPR has a Here's What's Coming Out This Friday.
Oh,
and I heard that first. And evidently her father is a record producer. And so growing up in Brooklyn, she had a lot of like famous artists come through and got to meet all them. And
So, very nice.
All of our dads are music producers also. That's how we got into this.
I was like Faye Webster or King Princess. I was flip-flopping back and forth between the two, and they're so similar. I was like, you know what? I bet Barrett's going to have Faye Webster, so I'm going to pick my girl.
You did a good job. You were correct.
Not bad. It's always good when we have something that's not quite, stock indie rock.
Right. I think your list might have more kind of sonic diversity than mine does.
Yours has some pretty good diversity, Barrett.
Well,
mine probably has the least, but maybe
looking
not.
At mine,
we'll find out. Let's let the listeners
color
decide.
Color by numbers, indie rock on here.
Wait,
man, we'll let the listener judge. Yep. Listeners judge.
Did you just say you have Color Me Bad on your list?
Color by numbers.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Color Me Bad at 2 D's, right?
Color Me Bad, yes. Yeah. They
when
had,
was that even?
Their, that was
that a familiar name, but...
It was 1991. Their number one song was I Want to Sex You Up.
Demonstrating a little over-familiary with that, I think so. Chris.
It was high school for me.
Maybe you should have been like... Like I think it was like 19, but you just like boom, you
nope,
knew what it was.
Senior year high school.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, that's kind of crazy that he knew that.
I want to sex you up.
Yeah.
Woo! All right.
Yeah. You guys ready for the real number 9? The actual number 9 album of 2019 is it's Priests.
Wow.
Come on, you guys.
Really another, good. Yeah, another
That's
near
a really
cut.
Good one.
You know, I love this album in the sense that it just feels elusive all the time. Like, every song you listen to, you're like, is that a great song? No, it's not quite a great song, but there's something enticing about it.
Every song is almost a good song.
Yeah, well, kind of yeah. like that. I mean, it's almost a great song. So, and it all feels kind of enticing. And yeah, they're just a cool band and fun. And the album is called The Seduction of Kansas. And I picked Good Time Charlie. Like a great morning.
Yeah, that was a good choice. Not a great choice, but a very good one.
I listened
to that. I like that one a lot, too.
I'm only a little reluctant to say this, but I think I just took the lead with that one.
That would be okay. Priest from Washington, D.C.
Right.
My hometown.
Yeah.
So we all went to the
festival that can't
be
named.
The festival that shall not be named.
Yeah.
South by Southwest. And I think I'd seen 35 shows. And the last show that I saw at South by Southwest, it's like 1 in the morning.
Yeah.
And it's a half-empty place. And I went to go see Priest because I'd wanted to see them the whole time. Craig was trying to go see them the whole time. I think he saw them once at least. But, yeah, so I finally saw them. This is the last show I saw. I'm like dragging. I'm dead tired. But I'm still front row. And it is quite an experience, I will say. Katie Alice Greer is the lead singer, and yeah, in a body length spandex outfit, very energetic. It is a full on sensory experience. So I could not have been happier with the way it ended, and I do like this album as well.
I missed that show in Austin because I was watching another band, and they got delayed, and it was late, and it was ridiculous. It was like 1:30, you know. But I got to see them in Madison at the in April.
That's
so,
right. Yeah.
It was great. Very cool. And I talked to the guy a little bit, the guitar player.
Yeah. Said,
cool guy. Nice guy.
Did he record one of those things?
No, we didn't. We kind of weren't. Like,
all right, next time.
Now you're a little bit more.
I think he would have, too, because it was such an informal setting. He was just sitting outside the High Noon after their show, just kind of hanging out, kind of slouching in his chair, and I was asking him about South by Southwest, and he was saying, you know, basically it was like a chore, you know, playing. They played like 10 shows. He said, it's just such a grind. It was just crazy. You know?
And I saw the last of them.
Yeah. Yeah. But it was cool. Really great. All right. Barrett, number 8.
All right.
Oh, boy. I see it.
My number 8. Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. This one, I felt a little bit, I don't know, like, man, when I first heard this, I didn't see him at that thing you guys were just talking about. But I was like, whatever, you know, didn't really care. Then I heard the album. I was like, holy shit. It's so fun. So exciting. I listened to it very many times. And each time it was just like chills up my spine. I loved it. I don't listen to it as much into the fall and early winter as I do some of the other ones that are on my list. But it made such a strong impression on me. at that time that I cannot keep it off, and it still is a thrill to me. I'm talking about, of course, Chai. And the album is Punk, and the song is, appropriately, This Is Chai. It's just fun, joyful, and I know you guys liked it a little bit at least.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
Oh, you guys both made faces like, yeah, and then you said that out loud, too.
I forget what live stream was I watching them on. It was like either Lollapalooza or...
It was in Chicago.
It was in Chicago, where it's like 100 degrees out, and, you know, some band plays before them. It's probably like some, you know, emo band or something, and everybody's kind of got their... arms crossed and everybody's grouchy, and then they come out and they're like dressed like flamingos,
right.
And they have dance routines, and suddenly everybody like comes to life. They totally won over the crowd.
Yeah,
everybody's grinning ear to ear. It's so much fun, and it's amazing. So
yeah, I just really liked it. Like I said, made me, you know, experience many happy moments listening to that this summer.
Sometimes we listen to kind of serious music, somber.
This is not so serious.
So you got to have something that you can actually describe as fun, right?
Right.
They are Japanese, it should be noted as well.
All right, Chris, what's the actual 8th best album of 2019?
You know what? I'm glad you asked, and I'm going to tell you, and as long as we're talking about the music festival that shall not be named, I was probably very affected by this artist's performance at that music festival where I saw her with Jeremiah, although separately we didn't see each other there.
He saw you, but he was like pretending he didn't see you. He told me that after the show.
I think that's what happened.
That seems about right. Yeah. this is Clementine Creevy, otherwise known as Cherry Glazer, who I saw at South by Southwest. It should be noted she also acted in the TV show Transparent.
Oh, no, that's interesting.
Fronting the fictional band Glitterish.
Really?
On that TV show.
Huh.
So there's your factoid about Cherry Glazer. I really don't have a whole lot to say about Cherry Glazer, other than that Clementine is from Los Angeles. Her first band was called Clembutt.
Clembutt.
Fortunately, that name did not stick. I don't know where Cherry Glazer came from. But anyway, the album is Stuffed and Ready. And the song that I picked was That's Not My Real Life. I can't sit in misery like a perfect woman. Easier to see. I can't give you up. If that's what you want from me.
Yeah.
Cherry Glazer.
Good one for sure.
Tell you what, I've got their first album, and I liked it okay. And I saw them a bunch of times. It was like 2017 and 18. Like seriously, like five times. Opening for people, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
And I like it. I liked it. Is this album more of this, or is it... Do you know the first one?
I don't know the first one very well.
This sounds... This would be the best song on the first album by a mile.
It's
so if this is of a...
The whole first half is like kind of a rockers like that, but then it was only after South by Southwest I started listening more towards the second half of the album, which is
yeah.
kind of, they slow it up a little bit, and I really like those songs as well.
Okay.
So yeah, it's 50-50, but I wouldn't...
But the song is like, the rest, the first one is really rocking.
Yeah.
And, but the, it's a little less tuneful than the song that you selected from this one. So
yeah, the whole album promising. The whole album is tuneful. You should check it out.
I'll have to listen to it.
I liked it a lot, and I think it's probably one of these, one of the examples of if you see the performer live and they're good, then it kind of vaults it up to the next level. And I think this could have been one of those. I haven't ever seen them live actually.
Yeah. So she was the star of South By for me.
Wow. Really cool. Yeah. Also, this is the great example of the difference between LA indie rock and New York indie rock, right? Because it's a slick production, but
in a
really good way though. And I think the next one you're going to pick, Chris, I'm going to put in that category too. There, little teaser.
Oh, man.
Ooh, what could that be?
Half the people were just like, I'm cutting out now.
It's
but now...
LA indie rock coming up. All right. Number 8 for me was Soak. Second time Soak has made my top 10. So that's Bridie Mons Watson from Northern Ireland.
Yeah.
And she pulled it off with a second really excellent album. This one's much more produced. But in a pretty good way, and all kind of sweet songs, and I like it a lot. So the album is called Grim Town, and I picked a track called Fall Asleep Backseat. Soak.
Yeah, that's good.
Another artist I would have liked to have seen live. I don't think she came
I don't recall her being anywhere near here at all.
No, I think she probably came to Chicago, and that's as close as she got.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, so there's a lot of stuff that played in Chicago right after I got into it this year. Like at, we can talk about one of them later that comes up, but, you know, really cool small places, and didn't quite get there, but I like that album. I'm being way too agreeable. I did like that album though. So
you need to start being a little more hostile.
Yeah. It's like pretty good. Here's one thing that I think everybody's gonna notice, but I'll just spell it out because you guys might not realize it. All 10 of mine are better than any of yours. It's just not just my list is overall better.
So like your number,
my 10th one is better than any of yours, except for the ones that you stole from
had
me.
Had in common, yeah.
Or okay. had in common.
That's a pretty good
it's
way
kind
to
of a euphemism.
It's a pretty good way to put the gauntlet down, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like my number 10 is better than your number 1, right?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. Okay. Who are we up to now? We're up to Barrett's number
my number 7. Hold on.
Yeah. Oh, this is a fun one. I'm gonna just put it out there. It's a fun one.
All right. My Barrett number
had a,
7.
He
yeah.
had a fun one last time.
Yeah, much, that's all my.
The
it's fun all
never
about
stops.
Fun.
Yeah.
How much fun can one podcast have?
This is a different yeah. kind of fun for sure, though.
This one's different. It's less sweet, a little more acerbic. Right.
right.
Oh, this is a washing yeah. machine.
But, yeah. Yeah, that's what Chris is like. He was like, soup, like kind of sort of familiar that. And he's like, what is it? Like washing machine? It's not far off. Both clean clothes, dry cleaning. And, I kind of cheated. They had two EPs. So I was like, that's basically one album's worth. You put them together, it's probably about 50 minutes.
That is enough to disqualify you on a technicality. So your whole boast right now about your list is now invalid. You got to pick one or the other.
Not only is it the best, it's also the most.
You can't stitch together two EPs and call it an album.
Why? That's like magical or... Yeah, Magical Mystery Tour.
I'm playing.
Right?
I'm playing the rest. Is. I'm playing the rest of this
two
podcast
EPs
under protest.
Chris is protesting. Yeah. But you know, Barrett doesn't live by the rules.
No.
So
F the rules, yeah. man.
He practices his own vigilante brand of podcasting.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
So this is the this song I picked is from the second of the two, which I did not expect to like nearly as because I love the first one so much, and this one I like a lot. I think I picked the first song from it. Called Dog Proposal.
I know it sounds bad, but I think it's one of the most misleading ideas emerging in the culturescape today. Hard work has very little to do with success. Open your phone and check your entrepreneurial channels. You'll see motivational pictures about working 100-hour weeks. But it only applies to those who are operating at a really basic level. It's not your problem.
That's dry cleaning.
So on this one, in the first one, the first of the EPs, it's most, well, I think it's all just talking. And this is the first one on the second EP, and she does kind of a singing thing there. Talking, but then also the
yeah, the
vocalization,
occasional singing.
Like the,
yeah, right.
And what I really like about the singing is that it's so relaxed and so just like kind of lazy and not quite always in key. Just like, and to me, it just serves the mood of the song so well, the way that she sings it. I just really, really love it. So
I'm going to totally permit the two EP concept. So we just outvoted Chris.
Yeah. 2-1.
Now I've been voted off.
Just on this one issue, we haven't voted you off the podcast yet.
You're starting to be a problem on the podcast.
You're still
need,
on it for a while.
Go.
I'm going to one up the thing I said recently. I'm going to say that song contains more quality than your top 10s combined.
Wow.
And maybe I'm going a little bit overboard.
Chris, what is the number 7 LA indie rock song of 2019?
the number 7 LA indie rock song is... Wait, that's not how this works.
No,
this works. So here is a band that I believe I'd had on previous years.
I think you did.
It is the Sisters Clavin, from the band Bleached. Not a very Google-friendly band. You always have to throw in the Bleached band if you want to find out information about them. But yes, they are from LA, and their past albums have been kind of, you know, right down my alley of girl power pop punk. And this one's a little bit different. This one has kind of more of an 80s feel, more of a, you know, keyboards and kind of a fuller sense to it. So, yeah, I picked the album Don't You Think That You've Had Enough by the band Bleached. And here's the song that I picked, which is Somebody Call 911. Yeah, so kind of a disco-y feel to that one. I was on the podcast when we talked about them, and I mentioned at the time that it's very serious topics. Like, that song is about heroin addiction and, you know, Somebody Call 911, but it's happy music and a very, very sad topic. So, yeah, check it out.
Yeah.
Yeah,
if I were a different sort of a person, I would have reached over while that song was playing and given Chris a high five.
You're not that type of person?
No, I don't usually do that. But like, how often when somebody else picks a song on the podcast and you've never heard the band, you get chills up your spine? How about you, Will? Does that happen very often?
On occasion.
On occasion.
Yeah.
I've got chills up my spine.
Yeah, definitely check out Bleach.
Great. I liked it.
Yeah.
Still three of their albums. Not as good as mine, but
all three of their albums, great.
It's a good attempt, at least, at being as good as Barrett's. Yeah.
I'm doing my best here.
Yeah. All right, cool. Number 7. Oh, you guys didn't realize that the actual number 7 is Hand Habits. Remember Hand Habits?
Yeah, no, that was definitely a contender on mine too. Really loved that album.
So at like halfway through the year in July, I think I put out a list on Twitter. Here's 20 great albums everybody should be listening to.
Mm-hmm.
And this was on there. So this was definitely I'm on cool. record.
And it's their second album.
Fact check time.
You want to see the list? I'll show you the list.
Yep.
It's their second album. It's called Placeholder. And I think when I play this, you guys are going to regret. You're going to think, man, that's good. I should have had this in my top 10. I'm going to play a track called Your Heart Reprise.
Faces the art.
Hand habits.
Very nice. I was trying to listen to that as Barrett was throwing equipment around.
Yeah.
No, wait, when you guys get out of here, so you guys each took a trip out to the whiskey bottle before I did. But, like, for whatever reason, so I'm behind the door. I've got to, like, sneak around you. There's no way not to be noisy, squeaky floor and bumping into stuff.
Yeah, but the real reason you stepped out is because you knew that if you heard that song, you wouldn't be able to resist the how good it was.
Yes.
Right?
I did like that album a lot.
Chris is on board, even though it's not in your top 10.
I'm on board. I said it was one of the considerations.
Yeah. Hand Habits, check it out. It's very consistently good and kind of that quiet vibe and just really well done. So now we are up to Barrett's number six.
My number six is... a band I saw. Oh my God! I'm gonna bring this thing up again that
here
we
it
did.
Is. Yes.
I'll tell you what, people. I know how tired of hearing about that you are. You gotta be, because we're tired of hearing ourselves talk about it.
It's really not that many people. Trust me.
Yeah, it's not.
Yeah, but many. All like it's a couple hundred people.
Could be.
Each one of them is probably tired of it. And but here's the deal with this. I don't remember how I heard about it, but I know what it was. I saw that they were coming and it was going to be at a cool place. It's like, wow, their album's coming out today.
And you're like, Comet is coming?
The Comet is coming is the name of the band. And we were at the place we were staying was a little bit, you know, a couple miles from downtown. And it was in the morning and everybody else, you guys were all down there, like already seeing bands and stuff. And I'm like, I just need some like quiet time or whatever. So put this album on iTunes, listen to it. As I was running, and so when I hear these songs, I kind of think about what I was seeing when I was running and stuff, and getting up to the downtown area, and it's really, really cool. It's a really nice place to go for a walk or run or walk your dog or whatever. Anyway, and then that night, I saw him too. That's the famous David Frick meeting thing I had.
Yeah.
Yeah. So embarrassing.
So excuse me, somebody else was there and saw them. As well.
You?
Yes, I was there.
I didn't see you, though.
I know. You got there before I did, and I had to wait outside.
Yeah.
They have, like, the super pass where you get in right away, and you have just kind of, like, the sort of pass.
Yeah.
And I had the sort of pass, and I was standing out there while all the super pass people just... It was one in, one out, and they all just kept going in and out, and finally, I just... To the bouncer, I'm just like, dude, come on. You got to let me in. And they let me in. And you were probably all the way up front. But I did. I saw half the show at least.
Yeah. I guarantee you liked it less than I did because it's not on your top 10. So, but
The show itself was amazing.
Yeah.
Also, the venue that they played had these giant open windows. So I was standing outside and I saw most of the show anyway.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's cool. Anyway, the song...
had enough of my story.
No, that's... Did I sound dismissive and like I was cutting you off?
Well...
Please continue. I'm going to say, I was standing
up
to look at
the... No, my story's over. I saw most of it. I thought it was great, but
go
on.
What were you wearing?
Please, go on.
Okay, I'm sorry. Anyway, the name of the album is Trust in the Life Force of the Deep Mystery, right? And the song is Blood of the Past. We'll be right back. So yeah, most of this album is instrumental. It's kind of a, God, to say it, to describe it as jazz fusion would be so embarrassing. But it's a, you know, it's a jazz saxophonist with I don't know, like slow EDM music.
Yeah, it's
it.
Like,
is that kind of,
like
I can't
EDM
even describe
EDM with a saxophone accent to it, but it's not like a saxophone and like Kenny G type of saxophone.
No,
it's like a
powerful.
It's a more aggressive.
Soulful,
yeah.
And most of it's instrumental. This one features a kind of a vocalist doing more of a kind of a poem than singing, but in a little bit different way than Dry Cleaning. And that was the first thing that really grabbed me about this song. The whole thing, I like the whole album, but the thing that she reads / recites is just really, really great. And it's, you know, not to use another cliche that I just used on the song that Chris played, but kind of sends chills up my spine.
Did they do the spoken stuff when they played live?
They did not. I can't say that for sure, but it was just the saxophone player, the live drummer, which, you know, to me, whenever you have like that kind of like EDM stuff and then a live drummer, it's so freaking cool. And so they had a real drummer and then a guy playing like, you know, synths and stuff. So they didn't have the vocalist there.
Sounds cool.
But I feel like they may have played a recording of that. I don't know.
Yeah.
Nothing could matter
less. Another fun pick from you. You're all about fun this year.
Yeah.
Yeah, fun.
No more somber, stoic Barrett. It's the fun Barrett this year. All right, Chris, what is the sixth best album of 2019?
All right, for this one, we are going north of the border to Montreal. And this is the band, and you're going to laugh when I say this. This is Anemone.
Oh, yes. All I could see, Anemone.
For the entirety of this band's existence,
yeah,
until literally today, I've been calling them Anemone because the word is Anemone.
Yeah.
But they have taken to mispronouncing it on purpose, calling themselves Anemone.
Really?
Yes.
Very interesting.
Yes. And so I'm going to do that. The lead singer is a woman named Chloe Soldevilla, and they are known as Dream Pop, dare I say.
There you go.
So that's kind of like, that's kind of in your bailiwick, would you not say?
Oh, yeah. This was in my 11 to 15 range.
This was a consideration?
It was fighting to hit the top 10, yeah.
So they were at the music festival that shall not be named, and I believe Jeremiah saw them on one of the last days?
I think so.
And I did not, and he mentioned them as one of the bands that he saw. And so I went back and I checked them out, and I'm like, this is a great album. And I'm so sorry that I missed it. But let's see. The album is called Beat My Distance. And the song that I picked is called Sunshine, / Back to the Start, /.
So apparently that was anemone.
I reject that. I'm going to keep calling anemone.
You can call them whatever you want. But
like, what if it was like, no, we're going to be called Eric Burden and the Animals. Like, you can't do that. It's a word.
Named anemone. Incidentally, after the song Anemone by the Brian Jonestown Massacre.
Oh.
Wow. Okay.
That's indie rock cred right there, right?
Yeah. So, yeah, when you think of, like, dream pop, usually that's kind of like a that's kind of a buzzword that I don't really like very often. But in this case, see, most dream pop, I think it's, like, slow and not a whole lot going on. But there's a lot going on this album. And
yeah.
I really like it. It's really tuneful. There's action, and it's very catchy, so I enjoyed it.
Yeah, that was another band that I missed that I had on my list to see. But,
all right, go see Anemone.
Yes, very cool.
Or Anemone, either one.
Whatever
it's
they are.
Double bill.
Yeah.
You beat me to it. Damn you.
Number six, actually, is Pale Hound.
What?
Yeah, just letting you guys know that.
Well, okay, well. A little overrated by you, but
pretty good. You've way overrated this album.
But that's pretty good to be on all three of our lists, right?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I guess we did reveal that earlier.
You know, we need to acknowledge here is that Will did have tickets to go to see Pale Hound,
and then you ended up getting those tickets.
Yeah.
Yep.
And you went to a football game.
Yeah.
And watched the Badgers get beat by Illinois, which
was a complete disaster. Right.
Now in retrospect, unbelievable. If they're not in the Rose Bowl, that's why.
Yeah. There's a phrase for that.
To admit, to witness that.
You know what the phrase is? Abject failure.
Yeah.
Right. All right. Number six is Pale Hound. And I've done something here, you guys. I actually picked the best track of the three of us.
Oh, how about that?
Yeah. The song Killer is just great.
Good song.
That's what I'm playing. Hound at number six.
Chris wants to be the one that who kills the man that hurt took you? A bathroom break during the middle of that song.
A lot of shuffling going on.
Yeah. You don't have to admit all the activity behind the scenes. I think it sounds really smooth. But maybe it helps for the listeners to understand
what
we're doing and how much we actually, effort that we have to put
in. We're painting a picture here.
Yeah. All right, that was number six, according to me, and that means we're half done. We're up to the top five.
Now it gets serious.
And so now, if your pick isn't good now, it's going to be a complete embarrassment. Right?
Bring shame upon
I'm looking at you.
You know, 10 years from
family,
now.
Chris. Your future family.
You look back 10 years from now, and if you're number 9 or 10, and you look back and you go, that wasn't really that great. I don't know if it should have made my list. But if you have it at number 5, you invested in it. Right? You're serious.
Kinda, I guess.
Yeah, it's hard to play off a number 5.
Chris, we were talking earlier about like some decisions we made. Like I'd left something big off of mine because I thought lots of people would have it, and you expressed some concern, like you having done that in the past, and it makes you look bad because you didn't have X, Y, and Z. And I'm like, for me, so little of my self-esteem or whatever is tied up in what I put on these lists that like choosing this had about as much import in the world, in my mind, as like what I ate for breakfast.
This is like not no, what the listeners want to read.
Yeah, so Barrett is he's just a
life why would death. Care?
Yeah, Barrett's being like an aloof indie rocker, right?
So like, let me...
So, like he's too cool to care about this.
No, it's not that. I care about like when we're doing it because it's fun, but like when it's done...
So you won't...
It's done.
You're not going to beat yourself up over your number
done.
Seven.
It's there forever. Yeah. Listen, okay, here's I went back and I looked at my... We did a podcast back in 2009, I believe. Uh-huh. Our best of the decade. And I was a very giving individual at the time. Not anymore.
You're not anymore, yeah.
Yeah, you don't give a shit anymore.
Right. I'm basically Ebenezer Scrooge.
Well...
And I picked my 10 of the year, and I'm like, well, you know what? Barrett's going to have Radiohead on his, so I won't put them on mine. And now my list in a vacuum just looks terrible because I have no Radiohead on my list. But people aren't going to know that because I was so generous. I was so giving. I'm like the Mother Teresa of music podcasts.
Yeah.
I gave you Radiohead, so now my list is crap. Because I don't have Radiohead on it, and I gave it to Barrett.
Well, do you guys know what the term revisionist history means, right?
Yeah.
Chris had never even heard it.
No, he didn't know anything about Radiohead.
He listened to my top 10.
He's
like,
just trying to be cool
Radiohead,
now.
Radiohead,
yeah.
What's that?
Yeah.
And he's like, whoa. Now he's trying to pretend.
I listened to King of Limbs, and I was like, who's this band? They're okay.
It's like it's like when Pitchfork reviews the Led Zeppelin albums and gives them a 10, you know? If they were reviewing them at the time, they would have given them a 5.3, you know? The critics all hated them, you know?
Rolling Stone hated them.
Everybody hated them. Anyway. Well, the critics did. Okay, we better keep on rocking here.
Moving on.
This is going to get really bad. Nobody's going to... Well, wait, they have to make it to the end to hear number one.
Right.
So they probably will make it to the end.
If their music
you
but
can
reluctantly.
Keep pushing the like 30 seconds
ahead.
Yeah,
that's what they're going to be starting to do.
Press
it
like 400 times.
Right. Okay. We're at Barrett's number five now.
Yeah, my number five. Wow. This is a good one. I first heard about this artist. Is she from. Well, her name is Julia Jacqueline. Is she from Australia?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
Friend of Nicholas's, I think.
Yeah, maybe it was from Nicholas.
Barbecuing in his backyard, I imagine.
He's probably got one of her guitar picks buried in his backyard.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the album, well, first of all, let's acknowledge that this album, first of all, if anybody really cares about what an album cover looks like, this is one of the best ones of the year, I think. It's kind of weird. She's got a happy look on her face, and it's just her. And it's called Crushing, and she's wearing a sweatshirt with the name of the album on it. And it's just funny and cool, and I really like it. Anyway, the song I chose is called You Were Right.
Julia Jacklin.
Yeah.
She's from Sydney. I just looked it up.
From Sydney. Okay.
But doesn't it sound like she maybe laid down a few tracks at Nicholas's studio?
Yeah.
Got that kind of gritty guitar sound.
Imprint on it. That's probably Nicholas is an uncredited studio musician playing.
Sydney's also where Finding Nemo was filmed, so she may be related to Nemo.
That could be.
That's a stretch, but
I think it's possible.
You know, anything's possible at this point.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just really like the lyrics of that one. It's just you know, about an ex. I was going to say boyfriend. I don't know. I'm not sure what.
Yeah. What
What her orientation is, but you know. So it starts off like, started listening to your favorite band, and I stopped listening to you. You were always trying to force my hand, but now I'm listening because I want to. My inflection there was a little bit weird, but because I want to. You were right, I liked it. You were wrong, I was a good friend. And then goes into like how she was very influenced by this person, you know. This person was like, hey, try this, I think you'd like it. And turned out to be right, but she disassociates all of these things that she now likes from this person. And it's like, I just like these things. It's not associated with you anymore.
Not going to give you any credit.
And it's pretty cool. For those, it's just really kind of like, you know, probably a healthy thing, rather than being like, well, I'm not going to like that. I'm not going to like that music. I'm not going to eat at this restaurant. I'm going to incorporate these things into my life, but disassociate them with this person.
For those of you at home, Baird is wearing a black turtleneck and a beret.
Yeah.
During his little bit of beat poetry there.
No, am I wrong about that?
Reading lyrics. No, I get it.
No, I think it was okay. It was good.
My inflection there was a little bit, weird.
You only missed one word. That was fine.
I should have been playing the bongos behind you while you...
Yeah. Then we can be like dry cleaning.
Rattle that up.
Right.
Hold on. One thing. Quick revision.
Yeah.
All of the dry cleaning that's been talked about on this podcast, we've never mentioned how... Because the thing that stands out is the words, the lyrics.
Mm-hmm.
But take those out, and it's just an incredible post-punk band playing super, super great tight songs.
That's like two bands ago. Right, what are you doing? Right. You're trying to shoehorn in more. Yeah.
Well, he's got to make sure he gets everything in. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm going to still talk about how bad like your 8 and 9 were. I'm not done with that. How
Chris, what is the fifth best album of 2019?
I'm sicking King Princess on you. Well, you know, I have been looking at a lot of best of the decade lists, and I've actually seen this album like literally in the top 10 of some lists.
Wow.
And I can't say that I agree completely, but I do agree that it is a really good album. And it's a young woman named Natalie Laura Mehring. Do you know who this is? This is...
The name is familiar.
Baird is thinking.
Oh, wait. Yeah, okay. Yeah. No, I have her on mine, too.
Yes. But, it's a Ways Blood. Mm-hmm. Ways Blood. She's from Doylestown, Pennsylvania. And this is another album that's kind of a 70s throwback. Kind of a... who would you say this is like? Joni Mitchell? This
yeah,
is
totally. Like,
yeah. Kind of a soulful, folky type of slow jam album. And let's see. The name of the album is Titanic Rising. This is where it comes back to the Titanic theme.
Oh, yeah. It's all coming full circle here.
Where King Princess had a relative on the Titanic.
That was Titanic, kind of a Titanic sinking. Thing. This is a rising
thing.
And
then Ways Blood at number 5 brings the Titanic back. It's Titanic Rising. So I picked the song Every Day, which is a very good song, and you should listen to it right now. Secret, running along a lonely line.
That's nice.
Yeah, so a bit of breaking news. While we were listening to the song, Will looked it up, and it is pronounced Wiseblood.
According to somebody on the internet.
I was going to say that. Like, I have never heard anybody else say it.
Yeah, it's a tricky, because it's W-E-Y-E-S.
Yeah.
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 But I looked it up, I think, when it came out, and I think she used to spell it like wise, like wisdom, and then changed it. So that's how I knew. But, you know, through the magic of editing, we won't. It's more fun to have.
I always leave my words and all. I leave you guys all your mistakes in and just take mine out.
I'm fine.
So, yeah.
But it's like, yeah, like I grew up my entire life thinking certain words were pronounced a certain way.
Yeah, totally.
Because
yeah.
I'd only read them on the paper. And then you begin interacting with other human beings and realize that it's not.
It does happen in the indie rock world sometimes, too.
Like when you're talking about, like, 3 or 4, maybe 10% of the words are all mispronounced. But Will and I are super polite and being like,
like the singer for REM, Michael Stipe.
Yeah, that's totally wrong, dude. I can't believe we're having this conversation right now.
I believe Sidney Gish has a whole song called Persephone, which is a joke on her pronouncing it Persephone.
Persephone, I remember that. Yeah. Yeah. No, that's good.
No, I've had, like, for me, you know, the guitar Epiphone?
Yeah.
I thought it was Epiphany.
Would that be the catchy way for them to pronounce
cool.
it?
Cool, right.
Right, yeah. Yeah.
Or like Fender guitar? That was Fender. Who knew? I had no idea.
All right. We haven't rocked enough yet, so we're going to rock a little more.
Thanks, Beret. I just said the word Beret literally 5 minutes ago.
Yeah.
Without realizing that's how you pronounced it.
Raspberry.
You just
beret.
Look at me and you think of like beret because I was doing that like
wait, wouldn't
deep
that be
poetry.
A, wouldn't that be a cool nickname? Raspberry Barrett? That'd be a great nickname.
Not sure.
I still like Coffee Bear.
That's good. You came that's up good. With that one.
Yeah.
Damn, that's a good one.
It's failed to stick, but
let's keep going, guys. Let's get some discipline.
Okay, here we go.
Number 5 is Bob Mould. You know when Bob Mould, he has gotten himself on just a great streak, and I think this decade of music for him has been his best music he's ever put out, which how many artists can you say that about when they're in their 50s? That's cool, right? I'm going to declare that that's cool.
Say that about podcasters, but musicians usually.
Right. And this album is called Sunshine Rock. It has a pretty good variety of running between the classic snarly rockers that he's really known for, and then some kind of poppy stuff. And I'm going to play a song that kind of falls in the middle. I think it sets the tone. It's the title track, Sunshine Rock. Bob Mould,
yeah.
Still rocking.
So let me set the scene for you. The year is 1998, and Bob Mould comes out with an album called The Last Dog and Pony Show. And I drove to Milwaukee to see him because I always loved Bob Mould from the Husker Du days on Sugar, etc. And that album and that show, he announced, like, this is it for me as far as, like, hard rock. Like, he's going to do acoustic. He's going to do orchestra stuff. This is not for me. I'm too old. And that was 21 years ago.
Right.
And this year he comes out with a rockin' album.
Totally rockin'.
Which is very good.
Yeah.
And, yeah. So it's just proof that this is like Willie Nelson when we were watching. Did we ever talk about the Kent Burns country thing?
We did, but not maybe specifically about, well, you mean on the podcast? Or
yeah, on the podcast. Willie Nelson, I think, had 16 albums before he had his first hit album.
Wow. And
I think that's great that it's just a lesson to the older folks that you just got to persevere. And,
you know, that's even more than...
like we've did about like 500 episodes of the podcast before we had a listener.
Right.
That's even more impressive.
Now we have 9 listeners.
Exactly.
I was going to say, so Willie Nelson had even more albums than Car Seat Headrest.
Yeah, he was known more as somebody who wrote songs for, like, he wrote Crazy for
Patsy
Cline,
Pretty Paper.
Yeah, so he was a songwriter, but nobody took him seriously until he moved back to Texas.
Jump by Van Halen. Didn't he?
Ask Billie Eilish about that. I don't know. I don't know if she knows who Van Halen is.
Oh, that's good. All right, let's keep on rocking.
Okay. Barrett's up.
Number 4.
All right, my number 4. All right, this is an album that, any of these 4 could have been number 1. And in most years, probably would have been. But this is a strong year for me. I was very engaged in music. You guys were too. It's all because of this thing we did, I think, well, at least for me.
Yeah.
Will, you're always a little bit more engaged in the new stuff than I am. I tend to look back a little bit. Will's checking his watch. What does that mean? Is that like a,
it vibrated. Yeah. I had to look.
Passive aggressive? Like,
he's like, let's move it on.
I was afraid that you might be saying something mean about me, so I thought, no, I'm just kidding.
That would be a first. So that speaks to just the quality and also my personal engagement. Anyway, the album is, the artist is Aldous Harding, and the album is called Designer. The whole thing is great. I could have picked any of the songs. I'm not picking my favorite one because I think I picked it when we did it during the normal podcast. So I'm going to pick a song called Damn.
Can you make a space on the sea? Box like shape for a silly woman. Damn a chamois. I thought I'd made a tambourine.
I'm going to predict that Greg will have this on his list.
Well, he was really impressed with her live show.
He saw her in New York, and he's seeing her again in, I don't know, London, whatever. He's seeing her, like, near home.
Did we mention where she's from?
She's from Australia, right?
I think it's New Zealand, isn't it?
New Zealand.
Well, it's somewhere near Nicholas's.
No, you're right. You're right. It's New Zealand.
It's somewhere near Nicholas's backyard, yeah. Regardless.
I just knew it was like a long way away.
Yeah.
And just really, really love the album. And yeah. What do you think,
Mr. Chris? I think this is a great album.
Good.
Also a very late cut for me.
Up high for that one, right?
All right.
There we go. We did it.
We did it.
Maybe we should mic that up.
Hold awkward on. High five.
Oh, the mic picked it up just fine. Okay, a better one. Okay. They swung and missed.
Stop. Like
there's one Eric Thames
that was bad.
Swing in there.
Okay. Yes, Aldous Harding, very cool. Chris, I'm going to say this is fun. It's a fun pick. Very happy that you chose this.
Yes. So this is an Australian quote-unquote super group. Featuring members of Dick Diver,
yeah,
the Stevens, and Boom Gates.
We've talked about Dick Diver.
Yes. If you check out their Bandcamp song or page, it says, quote, "They make modest, idiosyncratic songs that reward you with repeated listening." As opposed to those bands who like make songs that they only want to listen you to listen to it once.
And then you're done with it and you throw it away.
And you're like, I can never listen to this again.
Right.
But no, this rewards repeated listening, and it is the Stroppies. This is a band that you saw, I believe, in Scotland, right?
Yes.
And talk to them.
Yes.
So you are the Stroppies expert.
Since you brought it up, I'll tell the story now.
Please do.
The guy from the Stroppies was the nicest indie rocker who I met this year. Absolutely. Super great, nice guy.
Didn't turn down your business card?
Did you give him one?
I think I did give him one, yeah. And if I had thought of it, he would have gladly recorded a promo for us. But I wasn't in that mode. We hadn't gotten that inspiration.
It's kind of a new thing,
from
like,
Nicholas.
Yeah.
But just they're really, really cool people. Not just the guy I talked to, who's the keyboardist, singer guy. Plays guitar also. The drummer just seemed like he was having a great time. There's a woman singer and she's great. They're just all great.
Yeah. So I really enjoyed this album from front to back. It's tuneful, but it's got kind of like a deadpan type of vibe to it. And the song that I picked, first of all, the album is called Whoosh. And the song that I picked is called Cellophane Car.
Stroppies, excellent pick by Chris.
Yeah, that is great.
I think when we did our podcast on this, I mentioned that sounded a lot like Modern Lovers, and Barrett had a different reference.
Well, I mean, like it sounds like the song, well, both Sister Ray
by the
Velvet Underground, yeah, and Roadrunner.
When I did my list of 100 songs that I liked the most, what song was on there?
that one by Air Supply. I can't remember what it's called. All Out of Love?
Sister Ray was on.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were. There was a,
so that would, sure that would explain that. That's my jam.
I haven't seen Chris's top 100 songs list, but I know.
I'm still working on mine.
I know that it's Jump by Van Halen and then the rest after that, right?
Yeah, totally. Another Billie Eilish reference.
Billie Eilish should totally cover Jump by Van Halen, or like do a whole Van Halen album now.
Yeah, seriously. Old Hopefully white guys. Van Halen too, man. That album rocks.
Old white guys are outraged that she doesn't know who Van Halen is. When they haven't been relevant since 1984. Yeah, why would she even know?
Yeah, that's ridiculous. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
I've got a minute 14 song, you guys. You're going to be jealous. Janine's. That's my number four. And super catchy. Love the album. I couldn't quite get Barrett and David on board as excited about this as I was, but I still am. I think it's great, fun, catchy, sort of minimalist, and all good. Janine's self-titled album. This is a song called Enough.
That is a very short song.
Just straight to the point, right?
I think at some point you pitched me this band, and this is like an echo where I vaguely remember listening to it and liking it, but never went back to it for some reason.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah.
Well, there it is. And, so the guy from Janine's, one of the two people, is also the mastermind of the band Mick Trouble, who some of us liked. Didn't make any of our lists, but it's
why
a good
am
one.
I just learning this right now?
I think you learned it when we talked about Mick Trouble.
Really?
Yeah, and then you were surprised because you liked Mick Trouble more.
I did like the Mick Trouble album, FYI.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I do like it. I liked it more. I remember when it was the thing we were talking about with you, me, and David.
Yeah.
Being a little bit dismissive, and David was too, but I like it more. It's got a nice lo-fi vibe to it.
Yep.
All of a sudden, I've become a little bit self-conscious about the name checking of the other correspondents. Right? Has everybody been name checked?
No.
Jeremiah, a lot of times. Right?
Yeah.
David, I think maybe that's the first time.
I don't know if we've mentioned
Anurag. No. Yeah, because we talked about him in the intro.
With we
the
did.
Thing that I left off.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. We talked about Craig.
I think they'll probably live.
It's just kind of these things are important. What if we were talking about, like, you know, don't you like to be name checked by the other?
No, I don't really care.
But Chris is used to it because we talk about him every week.
Sorry. Yeah, it's usually like so you make fun of
that
me
guy
every week.
Sucks.
Yeah, exactly.
He takes it for granted, you know. Yeah, but
yeah,
actually,
it's like when you're like the Academy Awards. I'd like to thank all of my favorite podcasters, Will and blah blah. Like, say 100 people, and I don't mention you, you'd be pissed, or at least hurt.
This, you know, yeah. Usually when we talk about Chris, what happens is it goes like this: Hey, did you see what Chris did the other day?
I know, right?
That's what usually happens when we talk about Chris. Yeah. Okay. Back to the podcast.
Yeah.
What are we on now?
Will's
number
this is
three,
your number,
right?
I just played my number four. So now we're up to
you're
Barrett's
number three.
Number three.
All right, here we go.
I think number three is when I usually say it's really serious.
Yeah.
I mean, you could call the top five serious. Top three is really serious.
Well, this is one I know that Chris doesn't like at all. And so I'm twice this year. Both times Both times with Chris.
Yeah.
One time we were both just sort of like, it was after the Sasami show, which must be noted. That's a really good album that's not on any of our lists. That Sasami album on Domino Records. I really like that a lot.
I enjoyed her.
Didn't quite make it.
At South By.
So right after she played, that was the first show. That's when we met David and I think also Jeremiah. They both came.
I think so.
The first
Gish
time
played,
that we met,
right.
met both
Sydney
of those
Gish,
guys.
Sasami and then your pick.
Yeah.
Right.
So, and Sasami introduced them, and she's like, you guys are in for a treat. These guys are really something special. I'd never heard of it. And I really liked it, and you hated it. And
I can't disagree with that.
Yeah.
I was black, kind of in the middle.
Black MIDI.
You know what? Let's let them introduce themselves.
Hello, this is Joe the Grief, and this is Will's Band of the Week, the best podcast in the world. Are you ready for an amazing show? Let's get going. Run, dun, 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 dun.
Yeah, Jordy Greep there.
Like I said, that took him from a one to a two for me.
Yeah. Oddly, you'd think like, wow, Bear was really brave, and also Chris, to go up there. But we didn't go up there. He saw us sitting in the crowd, and we were actually trying to get away. He's like, no.
He was like, please, could I do it?
I'm going to do this.
You guys are from the Will's Band of the Week podcast. I saw you at South by Southwest.
Yeah. But no, I really like this album a lot. It's I don't know. We listen to so much music that sounds, you know, kind of similar and stuff. This is just really different. And that's what I really liked about it. And Chris has taken off his freaking headphones.
Nope.
Yeah. He's
walking away.
Take a break
he's like, time for a break. Literally. rather than listen to this, I'm going to go get some more whiskey.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of hard to argue with that, actually. But the song I picked is Speedway.
New City.
That's Black MIDI, and the album is called Schlagenheim, which we believe is a made-up German word, right? And Barrett has not yet picked up his microphone, so Chris, you can say anything you want.
So yes, I volunteered to go see Black MIDI with Barrett, and if there's any question about my friendship, it should have been settled that evening that I went. But what did I say about them, right? I said...
less bad than expected, or you said something.
Well, you can go back and you can listen to the podcast that we did about Black MIDI, or that we did
right.
about
it
the
went
show
from a one to a two.
Yeah. Well, I just said that.
You said that. He said that the night, and the other things that you said.
Yeah, that were they reasonably weren't very positive. Much.
Yeah.
So they're a polarizing band to some extent. But
here's the thing, too, right? You went to this thing. A, it was free. B, it was outdoors at the Union. C, there's a beautiful sunset behind it.
Yeah.
D, like drinking beer. Did I miss E? Whatever.
Those are all the parts that Chris liked. Yeah.
Like,
right.
Very enthusiastic crowd. You've been to a lot of shows at the Terrace. It's rarely like that. Anyway, Chris wanted to admit it, but he did like it.
I should mention that during the course of this podcast, when Barrett was in the bathroom, I seized his phone and tweeted from his account.
Oh, shit.
And I have been now retweeted by some porn account. Or Barrett has been retweeted, so...
That's what happens when you steal Barrett's phone.
That's right.
Nothing good ever happens.
I'm going to tell you the score of the Bucks game.
No, don't do it.
Beforehand, he T-voted it or whatever.
It was innocuous. Anyway.
They're playing the Knicks. You can't really be in serious fear that they're going
to
lose
that
game.
We can skip to number three, which is pretty easy.
Remember the score I predicted?
Yeah.
Pretty close, except the opposite.
Do you guys remember when the Bucks beat the then Baltimore Bullets 151-99 and Gus Johnson shattered the backboard?
I do not remember that.
You're not old enough. Yeah. You're not old enough.
No.
I was a fetus at that point.
It was about 1969, I think. Yeah, 70.
I was 4 years from being
born.
So
this is like the championship year.
I think Lou Alcindor was playing for the Bucks. He wasn't even Kareem yet. Okay, Chris, what's number three?
I'm just gonna kill all the drama right now. Yeah. And just say this is a little known artist known as Palehound.
You know, I'm sorry. I think I mentioned that she was on all three lists. And I forgot that we hadn't gotten to that you actually have Palehound the highest rated.
This is such a great album.
Kind of a spoiler.
Yeah, it really is.
Right. This is the number my number three of the year. We should mention that Palehound is Ellen Kempner. That is her name.
Yep.
We just did her a couple weeks. We mentioned her a couple weeks ago after Barrett and I went to the show. And she told this great joke about how she had just gotten insoles for her shoes that day here in Madison. And she was so happy. She's like, I am super gay, but Dr. Scholl's must be a dyke because no man has ever made me feel this good. Which was the best joke.
That was a good...
It was the best joke I've heard from a musician this year.
Joke of the year.
Best shoe joke. Best, for sure.
Definitely the best shoe joke.
Best shoe joke at a concert by a musician.
That's an easy... That's a low bar. But the other thing you said also may be true.
You tweeted at Palehound. You forgot to mention this in your part. And she tweeted back at you.
That's right. During the thing.
You guys are like BFFs.
I played the song... For my choice when we reviewed the album, just on the regular podcast, was a song, Bullshit.
Oh, that's a great one, too.
And there's a part there where there's sort of like a counter melody, sort of a harmony thing going on. And I'm like, I can't tell if that's a voice or an instrument, but it's so cool. It just is like really exciting.
So she answered it.
She answered it. So she literally listened to this thing that we do. That's nuts.
That's cool.
That's a first. Usually they're like, hey, thanks for... But you think like, you know what? You just saw your name on there. You probably didn't listen to it.
Right.
But she did. Here's the thing, though. In the concert, it was an instrument. It was they did it with a keyboard. So
I just want to say, Ellen Kempner...
Mystery is continuing.
We love you. You are the only... Is she the only one that's on all three?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You are the unanimous pick of the year. And so I picked the song. This is off her album, Black Friday, which we've all picked. And I picked the song Aaron.
Your mother wanted to name
Pale Hound.
I should mention that I was on a flight and I was listening to that song, and sometimes I'll just like listen to just an instrument on a song that I know really well. Listen to the drums on that song. They are amazing. Like, to me, drums are just magic. Like, how do people even come up with fills and like in between stuff? And I feel like I'm somebody who has reasonably good rhythm, but to be able to do that is just amazing.
So I'm totally agreeing with you. I've thought that exact same thing many times.
I will. I'll stand up for the drummers and the bass players, because there are elements that you just might not pay attention to, and then you decide to, and you're like, "Hey, that's cool where they did this or that."
Where in the world does that come from? And yeah, it's all got to fit into. I mean, it's got to all end up in the same place. But it's amazing.
And it can't be, if it's too obvious, then it sounds bad.
Yeah.
Like,
right.
If you do like the standard drum roll, that just, you know, whatever, it's going to just sound dull. So to come up with some little tiny thing, yeah, that's creative. It's cool. Yeah. Yeah. So I wasn't, now next time I listen to that, I'm going to focus on the drums.
Yes.
Yeah, me too.
So this is also a good argument for the album format, I think, because we all like this album, and I think you guys would agree that it is really consistent, and it's also not all the same, right? There are a couple other songs that are completely sort of a different vibe, but yet she pulls it off.
Well, we each picked the album, and we each picked independently different songs that were our favorites.
In the past, we've had to sometimes change and say, oh, wait a minute, we both picked track 6, you got to change your pick. So we didn't have to do that at all. Yeah. All right, Pale Hound, full endorsement by all three of us. But I have to tell you, the number 3 album is actually Kills Birds.
Ooh, there we go.
The self-titled debut. This is another LA slick production indie rock, but done really well. And, it's an exciting album, I think. It's got a lot of great loud, soft contrast, great singer. Just every component is great. And, I'm going to play the first track, called Worthy Girl.
This flower kills birds. When she dies, she rots like flesh. This flower kills birds. When she dies, she rots like flesh.
Kills Birds. How many bands have the name of the band as a song lyric? Talk Talk did that.
Probably a lot of rappers.
there must be more.
This is one you talked with Craig about on the podcast.
Right.
And then you came to me and said you'd be very disappointed if I did not love this album.
Yeah, you got to listen to this.
Right. That was a lot of pressure on me. And I will say that I do like this album. I would recommend this album. I didn't have it in my top 10, obviously, but there's one lyric that's so gross, and you probably know what it is. It just like threw me out, kind of like takes me out of the album completely. I'm like, oh, that's so gross. But otherwise, it's really good. It's kind of like, you know, girl, Riot Girl, Rocky type of stuff. And I liked it.
Well, I liked it a lot. That's why it's number three.
Yeah. That's why we do this. We don't always agree.
We all right.
We don't do one top ten, we do three, because there's not always total agreement.
Right. Although, I mean, you can't really deny that this stuff is pretty damn good, right? Just about all of it that we're choosing here. In spite of the fact that Barrett disrespects our picks, but, you know.
I mean, mine better than others.
By just about all of it, you mean like 33% of it?
Yeah. So, for example...
One-third of it, exactly.
We're up to number two now.
Oh, boy.
Barrett, I'm going to say...
serious.
I thought this one might end up being your number one, but it didn't quite track it. It was close.
I listened to this... Number two. I don't know how many times I listened to this album.
Mm-hmm.
Like, many dozens of times. And I'd never heard of this band before we went to South by Southwest. And oops, did I say that thing again?
That's all right.
Sorry, people. Seriously, we are so goddamn sick of hearing ourselves say that. Doesn't matter. We're going to keep doing it.
There were a lot of good bands there. We
a lot of good bands.
That.
And I did pick it for my like preview thing. I got it from the NPR Austin 100 thing, whatever. So props to Steven and Robin and all those guys, whoever else. Who's the other guy?
Bob Boylan. Can't forget Bob.
Yeah. And anyway, I saw him at that one place where we all saw them together at Valhalla.
I did not see that. Yeah,
okay, a lot
I was
of us did.
Somewhere else.
We were all kind of tired and like sort of, you know, not drunk, but like ready to go home.
I was probably drunk.
Yeah, we were all drunk. And... I was standing next to Craig, and Craig was like, can you imagine liking this band? And I was like, I kind of do. You know, but I was kind of far back or whatever. And then, but on, I think it was Friday night, they were playing at another place, the one right by Cheer Up Charlie's. What was that called? Whatever. Doesn't matter. And I went to the pretty close to the front and was just blown away. Just incredible. Incredible how good they were. And anyway, they're coming back this year, and I'm going to see them every time. Talking about, of course, Otoboke Beaver. Yes. And the seriously, that is so good. The song is Bakuro Book, and the album is, you know, I may well be mispronouncing these things. I have no idea. Itakoma Hits. Anyway, second, probably actually my first favorite thing this year. So here it is.
Otoboke Beaver.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. That's totally fun.
It's totally fun. And, you know, if you were to look at my, you know, Apple Music, do they still do counters? Like how many times you played stuff and stuff?
I think you could check that out. Yeah.
If you did, if I could figure out how to do that, that would be the top.
So that's interesting that you say that, because they were trying to crack my top 10. And
what? Really?
Oh, I really like it a lot. Yeah.
Oh, but, my God. I'm so happy and surprised.
But here's the thing. And I was talking to Craig about this last week. I couldn't justify it because I literally did not listen to it enough. Like, I listened to this album about like 3 or 4 times. And I loved it when I listened to it. But yeah. Then I thought, you know, that's kind of not, that's like, you haven't earned the right to put it up that high if you haven't listened to it that sure. many times. But, you know, just totally fun. And I think, I hope I can see them this coming year because well, they seem
I'm
like
gonna go,
they would be fun.
Probably play like 4 or 5 times. Yeah, I'm going to see them every single
I'll
time.
I'll be able to find so. Barrett. That's where you find Barrett.
They were an amazing find at South By because I did not, I don't think I knew anything about them.
And I didn't
went to
either.
See it. And it is amazing. I mean, there's body passing and there's a lot of theatrics and it's so fast and it's so aggressive. And the thing that amazed me so much was the musicianship.
Yeah. Because and stops like, and starts and
right,
stuff.
Exactly. So like we can say to ourselves, okay, this is just kind of thrash metal and, you know, all that stuff. But really the timing that it takes to be able to play, so they have a skill to be able to pretend like they don't care or they're right. just having fun yeah. or whatever, but it is amazing like how technically proficient they are to be able to have all this chaos around them and yeah. yet still be able to play flawlessly. And yeah. to me that was amazing. And I love them and it was one of the best times that I had there.
The listeners can't see cool. this, but there are tears streaming down my face. I'm so happy.
My so goal happy going into that. This whole thing was to like, try to make Barrett emotional because, you know.
You did it.
Yeah.
Chris. You've been validated.
Chris is a fascinating number two. I remember you speaking highly of this, but
yeah.
I didn't realize you thought this highly of this.
Oh, I do.
Can't even imagine what this
yeah.
is.
I very, very much do. So... You know, you can read the Pitchfork Top 100 albums, you can read, you know, Metacritic, you can read all of them, and they're not going to have this album on there. This is why you listen to Will's Band of the Week, so you can find these hidden gems
there
that you
go.
Know nothing about. And for me, this was that album, and it was produced by a member of Not a Surf. And so it was a band who was very good in their first album. This is their second album, and it's called In Two for their second album. And it is Moving Panoramas from Austin, Texas. And they played South by Southwest. We were there the first night, and I saw them play. Before they played, they were standing there at the bar, and I was going to go buy one of them a drink. But then they were out of there because they're... You know, panoramas are already always moving.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
that's well.
That's right. You know, because they have the moving panoramas.
Yeah.
But so they're not a band that you're going to hear a lot about. But this album, like, if you like power pop, if you like Not a Surf, if you like that type of thing, they are amazing. And the first song on the album is the song of the year, the song that I listen to the most. It is so catchy. I could not get enough of this. And the whole album kind of goes on the same way. It's like so catchy. It's so sugary. The production is so good. And I absolutely loved it. So this is Moving Panoramas. The album is called In Two. And the first song on the album is called Baby Blues.
Yeah, catchy one for sure.
Yeah, for sure. I like the way, so you have the singer, the main singer, and then there's harmony, but it's not like, not on the same level. It's like kind of underneath. Yeah. And it's really a nice effect.
Every song on there is equally as catchy, and it's just so great. So it's glimmering, it's shimmering. Suddenly I've turned into Clyde Frazier, New York Knicks announcer. He's shaking and
totally
making.
Like that basketball guy that I'm familiar with.
Exactly, yeah. Totally. Yeah. But yeah, you can really feel like Matthew Cause's effect. Cause's effect.
Oh, that's good.
Wow.
Cause's effect.
On the album, you know, Not a Surf has been doing this for 25 years, and he's applied it to this album, and it's really great, and you should listen to it.
Yeah, cool. That's good.
Very cool.
So, yes.
All right.
That's a nice job you did there, picking your number two.
You're not going to see that on any other list other than this one right here.
I'm gonna give Chris a hug right now.
All right. I'd appreciate it if he didn't.
I'm going to do it anyway. See if the microphone's going to pick this up.
Okay, here we go. Oh, that was nice. Backpatting. Very nice.
More affection than the heart slapping maybe, you know, indicated.
Well, the more whiskey you guys have, the more affectionate you get. You know?
It's been a lot.
Yeah.
Okay, here's the deal. I'm going to kind of break the rules like Barrett did.
Oh, no.
Yeah, just a little bit. But I think my rule breaking is a little more justified. We'll see how Chris, he can be the referee on this. But
I'm a stickler for rules.
I'm going to go back to the show that I gave you guys free tickets to. You saw Pale Hound. You loved Pale Hound. But Pale Hound was the opener. And the headliner was Big Thief. And Big Thief put out two excellent albums 6 months apart in 2019. And if you cheat and you combine those two albums, that is one great album.
Wow.
And there are a few tracks that are just so slow that they're kind of like, they don't quite grab you, but you take those two and put them together, and that is, like I said, fantastic. Absolutely loved it. I think they are they're just a band that doesn't quite sound like all the other bands, and they're great songwriters, and they're kind of challenging and just good in so many ways. So the second of those two albums, the first one was called UFOF, and the second one was called Two Hands. And I've picked what they released as a single from Two Hands called Not. Big Thief.
Yeah. Would it be fair to say that Big Thief stole the show? That we were there?
I think Pale Hound stole the show, according to you guys.
Well, here's the thing. I have a bit of a confession to make. I didn't listen to a lot of Big Thief. We have it at the coffee shop, and I never play it. I just didn't. And when we saw the first few songs live, we were there for Pale Hound. I was like, yeah, hell yeah. And So we're hearing the songs, at least me, by Big Thief, kind of for the first time, like in concert. And it just felt like sort of overblown. And I don't know, maybe it was that everybody else there was so much more enthusiastic than we were or whatever. But I was just sort of like,
I should mention to that
keep it at arm's length.
While Big Thief was playing, Barrett was standing over by the merch table waiting for Palehound, waiting for Ellen
there was that.
To come out and sign his butt, and she never did. And so he's being a little salty.
Now you're, delete all that stuff.
She could have done she could have at least recorded a promo.
But you know what
him.
I mean? Yeah. Like you hear something live for the first time, and you're like, "Yeah, oh, this is what it sounds like."
Yeah, well,
sometimes that's a good thing. Other times it's a bad thing. And I think in this case, if I'd listened to this more carefully, I definitely would have stayed.
I think
we didn't stay for the whole thing.
Yeah, I kind of feel like if you gave it a chance, you'd like it more.
Yeah, we went to Le Tigre.
We had drinking to go do.
Yeah, we
went
and had
some
Manhattans.
Yes,
what?
At which point you challenged me to write my 100 best songs.
Oh,
list.
That was when that happened.
Wow, you picked up that gauntlet. And
I did.
I was just like, oh, here's just like little things.
Are you going to divulge that? Are we going to do a podcast with your top 100
Holy
songs?
Holy shit.
We're going to play all 100.
Yeah.
It's but 8 hours long, my playlist.
We could share them with people, right?
Sure. I could do a Spotify playlist and
mine are kind of maybe sort of embarrassing.
You got to finish your list, though. You say
I'm really getting high. Listen to me. The number of songs on my list is really getting high.
I've tried to do that. So I don't know. I'll participate.
You guys
want to try
about,
to
you don't have to
some,
worry about like, oh my God, I forgot about my favorite song of all time. It just doesn't matter. Like, seriously. Yeah.
Okay, so before we get to number one.
Oh boy.
What are we going to do about the decade? Do you think we should do a...
I'll do a decade.
Remember what we did last time? We did our top 10 of the decade, but we did two podcasts, and we did 10 through 6, and then a second one because it took us so long.
That seems unnecessary, doesn't it?
Well, it does, except that you know you gush over your favorites of the decade so much. Maybe it takes longer. I don't know.
Boy, best of the decade.
Maybe I've got my list almost done. It's like...
I haven't even thought about it.
Yeah, mine is really close to being done. Maybe in January sometime, and then I thought we'd spread them out with the correspondence over the course of the year.
I should say that of my top 100 songs that I did, I think 5 of them are from 2010 to 2019.
Really?
Like,
yeah.
There aren't very many.
Wow.
Because
you're taking it deeply, deep back.
No, that's...
Because you're always skeptical of songs that are brand new.
It's a reasonable thing. Like,
because you're like...
Holy shit, I just heard this thing today. It's
right,
one of my favorite songs of all time.
Right. My entire life, I've liked this song. And, of course, it's going to take precedence over something. Yeah, all right, anyway.
Do you have Day After Day by Badfinger on there?
That's on mine for sure. Holy shit.
Isn't that unbelievable?
Unbelievable.
There we go.
I remember finding out.
Oh my
about
God!
You.
And then it's got that piano part. Oh my God! Okay.
Oh shit, dude! No.
How about a high five for that one?
Yeah. Yeah. No, there's this bar in Chicago called Simon's that JJ and I went to. It was on Clark Street, Clark and Foster, and it was like the only place you could hear that song. Before
the only place you could hear that song.
Before Spotify and all that stuff.
Yeah, wow.
It's like you gotta buy it, or like we'd go there. Oh my God. Yeah. Drinking a beer. Mm. Will,
I'm already
the
thinking.
Fact that you like that song.
Yeah.
You
Do
were
I have
one
more
of my best
now?
Friend, but now maybe you're my number one best friend.
Yeah, I've been
wow, yeah,
I've been supplanted.
Chris looks kind of
defeated
right now.
Yeah.
Chris, here's what I'm looking at. Let's before we get to our number one, let's just throw one out there. Tell me that this is not in your top 10. Radio Free Europe.
Sure. Like of REM songs? Or
of every song.
I like a lot of REM songs on the first two albums better than that.
Really?
It'd probably be like my number 7 or 8 song of all of the songs on the first. It's on the first two albums.
Okay, I didn't impress you guys enough.
I have 2 REM songs on my top 100, and neither of them is Radio Free Europe.
I mean, Radio Free Europe is top 10. It's got to be for me. But I don't know where in the top 10. And we'll be back with number one right after this.
self-conscious about.
We don't have any commercials though.
This is Barrett's third piss.
Hold on, shit. Hold on. You're up here. There we go.
Okay, we're back. Now, apologies for the long commercial break, but we have so many sponsors, and we had to let everybody get a chance to get in there.
Yeah.
Urination. Sometimes you have to do it.
No, we had, what were the sponsors? We had stamps.com, envelopes.com,
MailChimp.
MailChimp.
Urination.
Yeah, well.
Urination, when you feel a pressing on your bladder,
yeah,
and you have to do it. Brought to you by Barrett.
Yeah, okay.
So, I don't know. Maybe.
Whatever. Are we milking number one just a little too much here?
Yeah, I think we're up to Barrett's.
Barrett, did you read his list yet, Chris? Do you know his number one?
I just saw it, so I know what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know your number one, but I know
it's kind
mine.
Of a surprise.
I'm going to sit back and let it wash over me.
That's a surprise? It's like, to me, it's kind of a surprise, too, because Otto Boke Beaver really should have been my number one. But being honest.
Uh-huh.
So let's edit this thing around. Give me like all that stuff I said.
We can change the numbers all around.
Do your editing magic. That's number one.
No,
but
editing.
Here's my number two.
This is actually, no, stop. This is number okay. one.
My number one is by Wiseblood. The album is called Titanic Rising, and the song is Something to Believe.
Drank a lot of coffee today. Got lost in the fray. I gave all I had for a time. Then by some strange design, I got a case of the empties, the ruler of my world, a lost forgotten pearl. When fire leaves a
Wiseblood.
Oh yeah. Man, now I want to move that up on my list. Can we re-record this now?
I can just change the numbers. I edit out when you say a certain number. Yeah, very impressive. I think that when we talked about this earlier in the year, I for some reason that reminded me of John Grant. And
well, Chris is the big John Grant guy.
And then
what
also what
John Grant song in my top 100.
Yeah. Okay, so did that song remind you at all of John Grant?
Yeah, I mean, there's like a Leonard Cohen aspect to it, like kind of a...
Yeah, and it's got a Joni Mitchell thing, that's what I hear.
And it's got a big orchestral sound,
yeah.
Which I was thinking, I remember, like, wasn't it maybe 3 years ago you had a Foxygen album, number one?
Yeah.
And that's kind of a big orchestral
yeah.
thing, so I can understand it.
Yeah.
That's a really either. Good album.
Yep.
I concur with you. Retro.
As long as retro is in there, it's fine. Yeah. Yeah.
As long as the word agree is in there, that's all I care about. Agree, yeah.
Okay. Number one. Chris, number one. I mean, you only get one chance at number one.
I mean, could there be any other pick? This is, if you're a frequent listener to our podcast and you listen to any of our on the spot discussions, you'd hear my So literally 10 minutes after we saw this band for the first time, I was so incredibly excited. I swore on the podcast.
Yeah.
Which I rarely do.
It was good.
We ducked into an alley. And I'm like, well, I got to swear because I was so enthused about this band from Ireland.
Yeah.
Which is a punk band, a very loud punk band. And they're so great. It's Fontaines D.C. Their album had not been out yet, Doggerel. They had had a few singles, which comprise about two-thirds of the album. And, yeah, just the best album of the year. It's just so great. And so the song that I picked was Boys in a Better Land.
So you start kicking when the room is spinning and the words aren't sticking. And the radio's on a better runaway model with a face like sin and a heart like a James Joyce novel. Saying, sister, sister, how I missed you, missed you. Let's go wrist to wrist and take the skin off of my blister. If you're a rock star, porn star, superstar, doesn't matter what you are, get yourself a good car, get out of here. Well, put the boys in the better land. You're always talking about the boys in the better land. The boys in the better land. Put the boys in the better land. You're always talking about the boys in the better land. The boys in the better land. Driver's got names to fill two double barrels. He spits out, breathes out, only smokes carols.
Yeah, he's stopping on one of my favorite lines there. Spits out, breathes out, only smokes carols, which is like an Irish cigarette. Anyway, you might have also heard Chris singing some backup vocals there through the microphones. But what you could not have witnessed, because you are, this is just audio, is Chris dancing.
Yeah, he was up rocking.
Or hopping, or pogoing, or like just, you were very, very excited.
That's he was totally rocking at the
see.
Live show.
It was good to see.
Yeah.
If you'd like to see me dance at a live show, there is a YouTube video of Fontaines at South by Southwest where I'm literally in the front row. And you can see me rocking out with my backpack
wow. To
Fontaines. And then, yeah, we went to go see him in Chicago. And
yeah, that was transformational or whatever.
I enjoyed
it. Is that the right word?
Yeah. Yes.
It was amazing.
Sure.
I jumped around and got very sweaty. And it was incredible.
Very cool.
And yeah, I've never had so much fun.
Great. You know what's really, really cool is that we announced the top two albums. And probably all we need to do, we should probably just like stop recording now.
Because everybody knows what they're going
to
be.
No, I think,
no, we don't even need to. Like whatever Will says is just probably something that we already said.
I should note for the record that this is my only like white guy band in my top 10. I think like 8 of the 10 have female lead singers.
Let me look at my.
Yeah, it's looks about right.
Some here we go. Here.
Panoramas.
Yeah.
Palehound.
You got Stroppies, the Stroppies have 50, both. 50,
yeah.
Dad's got both,
Wise
too,
Blood,
right?
Anemone, Bleached, Cherry Glazer, King Princess, and Dead, which is both. So, yeah, we're talking about like 8 out of 10.
Yeah.
Yeah, you deserve a lot of praise for that.
Yeah.
Good job.
Thank you.
You did a good job.
All right. Indulge me. The best album of 2019 is... Doggerel by Fontaines D.C.
I've heard of that album.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I have to pay Barrett royalties. I should just take my wallet out. Because Barrett's got the two adjectives, right? Thrilling And sometimes he says stunning. And this band, man, oh man, they just blew me away. And saw them live, like you said, Chris, we had heard probably a little more than half the album before we saw them live, and then the album did not disappoint. So it's just, it's all just great. So for me, this year, last year, I remember I had 7 albums that all could have been number one. They were kind of average, great 7 albums. And, you know, I loved them. They were great. But this year, it was just, it was easy. It was like, this is number one, and then let's start the list after that.
Yep.
Because for me, it just, there was no band that matched this level of excitement. And the album is totally not one-dimensional, right? So that's another cool thing about it. And I think through the course of the year on the podcast, we've played probably at least half the album. And
at least.
And one of the tracks I don't think we've played is one of the slower ones, which I think is just great. So I'm going to play that one, Roy's Tune. Go.
Yeah. You know, I talked about this with Chris before we came, and then a little bit kind of cryptically before you played these, you know, your number ones. And if I'm being, you know, like totally honest, like this was definitely one of my top 10. I listened to this more than everything except for Odeboke Beaver. And I left it off just for a little, you know.
He's being contrarian.
He is.
Contrarian, just like to just introduce some variety. Like, I probably would have left off Faye Webster for this.
And so, we're all richer for
eternally
having heard,
grateful.
Yes,
I know,
for having right. heard Faye Webster.
And thank me. Yes, keep thanking me.
Faye would thank you, I'm sure.
Yeah. But yeah,
but no, Faye, I love this album so much. Loved it so much. Remember the day it came out to listen? Like, seriously, I listened to it like 8 times that fucking day. That's how much
that's
I like
pretty
it.
Good. That's impressive. Okay.
So,
has he redeemed himself for not putting on his top 10, Chris, or not?
As I said, I've done the same thing. I left Radiohead off one of my lists. I'm just going to keep complaining about this nonstop. No, there have been other years where, not like the decade, year to year, I've left things off because I knew you were going to have them on there.
Yeah, but now I covered my bases.
And I'm like, people would want to hear this other album rather than hearing another song by the artist Barrett already picked.
That was the right decision, Chris, because, like, seriously, it doesn't matter. Like, people aren't going to be like, remember in 2019.
It's all a matter of historical record. This is all
Barrett
this,
didn't pick Fontaine's DC. Like, the number of people that would give a shit about that.
This is going
is
to
literally
Smithsonian.
Zero.
This is like, you know how we have like the dioramas of like Native Americans pounding corn into stuff? this is going to be you leaving off Fontaine's DC.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, it's going to be like an animatronic thing, like a
300 years from now, it's going to be
like, what's your favorite album of 2019?
I think there could
Beep, boop. It's gonna be not saying Fontaine's TC.
It's all gonna
look like a total asshole. Yeah,
right. You're gonna be. It's all gonna have to be in context.
I think there could be a Twitter, one of those, you know, Twitter outrage disputes.
Yeah.
Where people are gonna say, I used to really be into this Will's Band of the Week podcast, and there's this guy Barrett, and he left Fontaine's DC off his list.
Right. If you want to pile on Barrett, I should also mention he's never heard of Van Halen.
Yeah. Well, except
that's
Jump.
True.
I think he knows Jump.
Jump. Yeah. No, that sounds familiar.
That synthesizer part, you know? Did Eddie Van Halen write that? It's like, because you only need to know three. It's like a three finger thing.
See, this
thing.
Is inside information.
I played that song once. Like, yeah? I played it as kind of a funny thing with one of my cover bands. Yeah. It was kind of fun to do.
There's nothing funny about Jump. It is a great song.
It's very serious.
How dare you, sir?
Are you guys like one of our kids can tell us what synthesizer that is?
Yeah. It's a very classic. It sounds like my old Oberheim Matrix 6, but I'm not sure if that's what they used.
Well, your son can tell us like the visual representation of it, right?
Yeah, he can be like, that's a square wave. That's a sawtooth yeah. wave. That's right. a sine wave.
That's a black MIDI.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, Black MIDI. It's another one. Yeah,
yeah,
it's a thing.
It's totally a thing.
Do you know what that is, Will?
Actually, I don't.
Well, It is a visual representation of music. It starts off. The whole point of it is to watch the visual representation.
Okay.
And it starts off like, and then it's like sort of like whatever, and then pretty soon there's so much going on that it's just like a saturation. Of darkness.
It just turns to black.
Almost, yeah.
So MIDI is obviously a computer representation of music, right?
Musical instrument digital interface.
Right, and so the kids these days are starting to give names to certain styles of visual representation, and black MIDI is one of those.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay. So.
Okay.
Also, the third best album, or whatever I said.
Yeah, I think that's what it was.
The number doesn't matter. One of the best.
What's the longest podcast we've ever done? This is getting close.
16 hours.
Of course, by the time I eliminate all my mistakes, that'll be like 15 minutes less. All right, let's say it's been a great 2019. We'll do a end of decade. We've got several
okay
more.
2019.
We've got. What was that?
It's been an okay 2019. Let's not get crazy.
It's been awesome, Chris. Come on. Get some enthusiasm.
South by was great.
Yeah,
it's
but
been
the Brewers
great.
Lost that game to the Nationals. That was
pretty
bad.
Yeah, they did.
You got the Bucks losing in the
that was bad.
Conference finals. That was horrible.
Okay, so maybe not that great in sports. We are going to have more end-of-year list podcasts. They're going to be great.
Oh, yeah. I can't wait to hear what other people like. Craig and David and Nick
and
Anurag and
Jeremiah
and Grant will I think
sure.
probably do
Wilson
one
Wilson probably wants to do
and,
one
and Reese might do one, so yeah, we'll just keep on scheduling them, and then we'll get our decade one going maybe sometime in January. I think we should aim for that.
Yeah,
because the releases are pretty slow in January. It doesn't hit till like
sure.
the end of January.
We should also ask people that are listeners, not everybody thinks about stuff this way, but anybody that does can send their own list and we can read those off
too.
That'd
be cool.
Here's the bottom line. Listeners end up on this podcast. So
yeah, that's true.
If you are a listener and you want to be on the podcast or you want us to talk about you, just send us an email. It's
right.
really not that hard.
Like we've had emails. It's like, hello, the insurance policy on your car is about to expire, but
right.
we read those once. It's
and
like,
then
that's just junk mail.
And now they're on the podcast.
Yeah, anything, fine.
Dear sir, please send me your bank account. I have $800 million to wire you.
Yeah.
We read those on the podcast, too, because...
What if somebody listened to that and actually like sent that guy money?
Right.
Because we read everything. We love hearing from people.
Yeah, it's so fun. Everybody should do
that. That's true.
All right. Let's talk to everybody again next week. with another edition of Will's Band of the Week. Good night.
Good night.
Peace out, honkies.
The Will's Band of the Week podcast is brought to you each week from Fourth Bedroom Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, with correspondents from the United States, Canada, the United Kingdom, and Australia. You can subscribe or download the podcast wherever podcasts are available or from our website, willsband.net. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and you can contact us directly by email to willsband@yahoo.com. Our theme music was composed by Grant and performed by Grant and Will. Thanks for listening.